Right, this is our Mishnah class, Introduction to Mishnah and Talmud, and it's May 11th, Vav Iyar. Some say it's Mother's Day, and we are looking at the biblical and rabbinic background to the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Zayin, about Trumot Masrot. We're going to put together, collect all the different crumbs about Trumot Masrot in different places in the Torah to see a composite picture. So we'll just go over what we did in Chavrut and nothing more than that. So the place we begin, of course, is in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chaf Zayin, Sukim Lamed and Lamed Aleph, which in the art scroll is 722. Page 722 in the art scroll. And again, it's Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chaf Zayin, Sukim Lamed and Lamed Aleph. And Pasuk Lamed says, V'chol ma'asar ha'aretz, mizera ha'aretz, mipri ha'etz, ladonaihu, kodesh l'ashem. V'im ga'ol yigal ish mima'asro, hamishito yosef alav. The verses don't tell us what type of ma'aser we're talking about. They just give us some basic details. That the ma'asar ha'aretz is kodesh, and that's important to note. It has a status of kodesh. And if you're going to redeem it, exchange it, you have to pay a certain type of fee or fine of 20%. So we know that now for certain types of ma'asar, there is such a thing as gula, there's such a thing as redemption, as pidyon. We don't know exactly what type of ma'asar we're talking about. These are just introductory verses. The most important thing is that whatever ma'aseh this is talking about, we have to know that it's kodesh. And we'll see that there's some types of ma'aseh that aren't kodesh, that has certain implications, and it might have significance for the Mishnah that we're going to learn. Might. Anyway, so the Rashi we want to see is on Pasuk Lamed, and the Dibor Matril is V'chol Ma'asar. So we look down to the Rashi, Pasuk Lamed, and this Rashi is on the second column, that's the left-hand column, about 5 lines from the top of the page. Exactly 5 lines. V'chol ma'aser ha'aretz. And Rashi tells us something that's not explicit in the verses. The ma'aser sheni ha'ketuv medaber. It's talking about something that Torah will talk about later. And say, for Dvarim, that's called ma'aser sheni, it's not all the ma'aser. Mm-hmm. So we know now that ma'aser sheni, I'm going to put this on the board, that ma'aser sheni is kodesh and has a din of gula or pidyon, which means we can exchange it somehow and pay a certain fine or a certain fee of 20%. So I'm going to write it like this. I'm going to write that in Vayikra, Perek Chafzayin, we learned about Maaser Shini, and we know concerning it that it's kodesh, and we know concerning it that it has a din of gula. That's going to cost us chamishito. Chamishito.
To whom goes the chamishit? The fifth. Who takes the fifth?
We're going to see that in Sefer Dvarim, what happens to the fifth. And I'm going to try, and to say as little as possible, let the Torah and Rashi speak. So it's a good question, but the answer is going to be there in Sefer Dvarim.
Okay.
So, I'll explain again. It says by Grav Perek Chafzayin, right? I'm just explaining my writing in case it's unclear. And it says what we learn there is Maaser Sheni. And concerning the Maaser Sheni, we learn that it's Kodesh and that there's Gula. And just to remind you, the verses didn't say explicitly this is Maaser Sheni, that was Rashi. Perhaps I'll put in brackets that that's Rashi.
Do we know yet what to redeem it means?
No. Okay. We don't know what it means. We just see what we have here. And it explains that
redemption usually means something can be bought back.
Good point.
I'm not saying that's what it means here, but that's redeem
that's
is a
to buy it. Yeah.
Means to buy something back.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what that would mean in this context.
I don't either, but
well, we'll wait for Sefer Dvarim and see what it says. Go on?
Yeah.
Okay, go on. So I'm just looking at the sheets that you have in front of you. And we move up on to B. And this is Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud Chet, Psukim Het and Yud Bet. So we move to Numbers 18, 8 to 12. Numbers 18, 8 to 12, which has us on page 832. Page 832. Again, it's chapter 18, Yud Chet, Pesuk Chet, at the bottom of page 832. It's a new paragraph. That's the way the art scroll made it. Pesuk Chet. Vaydeber Adonai el Moshe, I'm sorry, Vaydeber Adonai el Aaron, Va'ani, Hine natati lecha, et mishmeret trumotai, לכל קודשי בני ישראל, לך נתתים למושך ולבניך לכל כולם. Spoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Aaron, specifically Aaron, right? Not to Moshe, not to Bnei Israel, but to the Kohenim, to Aaron. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, behold, I've given to you the guardianship of my Truma from among all the Kodshei Bnei Israel. I give it to you, Lemoshcha, which is a word that's hard to translate, to you and your sons forever. This is some type of payment, some type of fee that is given to the Kohenim.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say more than that. It's called Truma, and it comes from Bnei Israel, and it's in the framework of Kodesh, that much we see. I'll put all these things on the board after we get a little bit more information. And just one more verse, which means we turn the page right, to Yud Bet.
Because it says, it's, they translate it, gave you the safeguard, or the watching of. You just said, gave it to him.
We'll just let the psukim that we read further on speak for themselves what this is, what that word lemoshcha means.
Well, I mean,
is a
the
question.
Earlier it said, let's see, where am I?
Eight.
Mishmeret. That's not the word that I'm asking.
The word that's even more difficult is the one right underneath Mishmeret.
Yes.
The word Lemoshcha, which they translate here as
distinction.
Yes.
So I guess what we're asking ourselves is what actually is this Truma for? What do you do with it? It doesn't say here, eat it. It says to guard it. It says for distinction. What do you do with it?
That's something to...
What do the Kohenim do with it, I
should
say.
To enjoy it or something, Lamashon?
I don't know. The word is unclear.
I translated it to enjoy it.
But we'll go on and see other verses. Let's look at Yud Bet. And there'll be other verses as well. Yud Bet is 12. Kol Chelav Yitzhar, all the best of the oil, the chol chelev tirosh, all the best of the liquefied grapes, the gan, and also the best of the grain, reshitam asheyitnu ladonai lecha netatim, the best of them, or the first of them, which they will give to God, and the Jews will give to God, God says, I'm giving to you. And again, we're talking to the Kohanim. So the Kohanim get that which Am Yisrael gives to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that which is called the Reshit, that which is called the best, that which is called Truma, contribution, goes to the Kohanim. Let's see if Rashi can add anything to that. Right, we're looking at Rashi on Pasuk Yud Bet. Rashi and Pasuk Yud Bet is going to be the top of the page 834. When he said the top, I shouldn't have said the top.
No,
the middle. Rashi and Yud Bet says, Reshitam hi truma gdola. So Rashi only tells us the language that the rabbis use to describe what's described here. And the language they use is called truma gdola, whatever that means. I'm just going to put all the details on the board that we have collected. So what we've seen is that when Sefer Bamidbar, right, Perek, is it Yud Chet?
Yudchet. And what's described here, according to Rashi, is called, what did Rashi call it?
Truma Gdola.
Truma Gdola. Right? Truma Gdola. I'm putting in brackets that that's Rashi's word. And what we know about this thing is that it is Kodesh. The word Kodesh was used there. And we know that it's to the Kohanim. And we know that it's somehow Reshit. Right? The word Reshit is there. It's the first. It's the best.
Yeah.
So the Kohanim are getting from Am Yisrael some type of gift. And that gift is Kodesh. I wrote that it goes to the Kohanim, and in some sense it's the Reshit, it's the best, it's the choicest. We don't know how much it is. It's not like Maaser, which the word defines what it is. Maaser means a tenth, from the language of Eser. But Truma simply means a donation. How much is it? We don't know. And perhaps it's not defined by its quantity, but by its quality, that we give the best to them, whatever the best is.
But all this is not clear yet. We're just collecting more and more crumbs, as it were. Let's see. Now we want to go on to the same perek in Sefer Bamidbar, but to Psukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Dalet and hence
Dalet and Lamed Aleph, yeah.
Okay. Right. So we go on to, again, it's 18, verse 21. It's the same page, 18, 21. We're going to read verse 21 and then 24 and henceforth. So I'm reading the bottom of page 834. V'levnei Levi, hine natati kol ma'aser b'Yisrael lenachala. And to the sons of Levi, the tribe of Levi, behold, I have given all tithes in Israel, nachala as an inheritance, chelef avodatam, Hashem obdim et avodato al-moed, as a payment for the work which they work in the al-moed. Right? They don't have land. What they do instead of working their land is working in the Ol Moed, and they get paid for it. They don't have crops that they can raise for themselves, so Bnei Israel give them a payment for working in the Ol Moed, and payment is called Maaser, a tenth. And then we go on to verse Chafdalet and henceforth, means we're turning the page. And at the top of page 836 it says, Ki et Maasar Bnei Israel, Asher yarimu ladonai, truma natati lelevi'im, lenachala. Al kein amarti lehem betoch bnei Yisrael lo yinchalu nachala. Translation, for the tithe of bnei Yisrael, which they will separate for God, as a gift or as a contribution, I'm giving it to the ladies. So something, bnei Yisrael are giving a tithe to God, but God says direct it to the Levim as an inheritance, and that's why I said that the Levim will not inherit land within Bnei Yisrael, because in place of the land and the crops that they would grow in it, they get the tithe. It seems to make a certain degree of sense. Let's look at Rashi. We're looking at Rashi on Pasuk that we saw already, Yudbet we saw already. Now we're looking at Rashi on Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Right? Well, Pasuk Chaf Aleph on page 834.
Chaf Aleph, yeah.
Right. Chaf Aleph, it's on the left-hand column. I'm having a problem finding it. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's not Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it's Pasuk Chaf Zayin. It's on page 836. And this statement of Rashi says it's the second and then the third and the fourth line of Rashi. On the right-hand column. Everyone have the place?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just the number of the pasuk that's on the second line, and then it goes to the third line to make it easier to find. Chafsayin, v'nechshav lechem trumatchem. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't read this in the Chumash. Why am I reading in Rashi? I apologize. So we have to read some more verses in the Chumash. Going to verses Chafhei and Chafav and Chafsayin. V'yedaber Adonai el Moshe l'mor. Ve'el ha-levi'im tedaber, v'amarta lehem. So the verse says that God spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Levi'im and say to them, ki tikhu mi'et b'nei Yisrael, et ha-ma'aser she'natati lehem me'itam b'nachalatchem, translation, when you take from Bnei Yisrael the tithe that I have given to you from them as an inheritance, v'harei motem mimenu trumat Adonai ma'aser min ha'maaser. Right? When you get your gift of the tenth, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Levim, separated from it a truma, a contribution for God, which is going to be a tithe from the tithe.
This is the first, and
it makes perfect sense. Because if there's such a thing, as we have in the board, of a truma that Bnei Yisrael give to the Kohanim from their produce, and we know that the Levites don't have their own produce, they don't have fields, but they get a tithe from Bnei Yisrael, so that tithe that they get is like their produce. What's the law of produce? You have to take truma from it. So now there's two types of truma. Again, the word truma means a gift to the Kohanim. There's the gift to the Kohanim that all of Bnei Yisrael give from their food, and then there's the Kohanim that the Levites give from the food that they got from Bnei Yisrael. And they're both called truma. And because they both have the same concept. It's that from the produce that you have, some people have produce from the land, some people get it as a tithe, you have to give something to the Kohanim. So, we're going to, right here, Sefer Bamidbar, and we're still in Perek Yud Chet. Before we fill in the rest of the details, we'll read Rashi further to make sure we have everything, but the concepts are pretty clear. The concepts are pretty clear. We want to read on in the Chumash, in Chaf Zayin 27. Again, we're talking to the Levi'im that have to give this contribution from the tithe that they get. And it says in verse 27, "Menechshav lechem trumatchem kedagan min hagoin uchmleya min hayekev." And your contribution to the Kohanim will be considered as if it's from your crops. Even though it's not your crops, it's crops that you got as your tithe. But it's considered as if it came from your dagan, if it came from your grain, as if it came from your yekiv, from your wine press. Kain tarimu, in verse kafchet, Kain tarimu gamatem tumat Adonai mikol ma'asrotechem asher tikchu mi'et bnei Yisrael v'natatem mimenu et tumat Adonai l'aron ha'kohen. So indeed, you should separate, you also, a truma for God, which is going to go to the Kohanim, from all of the tithes which you take from bnei Yisrael, and you should give from it a truma to God for Aron ha'kohen. Again, it makes very much sense. And it's logical. Read on a few more verses.
Excuse me. This is still the Kohanim we're talking about.
We're talking to the Levi'im. What they have to give to the Kohanim.
Oh, okay.
Right. They have to give a maaser min a maaser. They have to give a truma.
Okay.
So verse 29 says, Mikol matnotechem, from all the gifts that you get. Tarimu et kol trumat Adonai. You should separate the truma of God, mikol chelbo, et mikdasho mimenu. From all of its good part, you should separate its mikdash, its holy part. So that verse is important. It says you should celebrate its holy part. So it seems to teach us that the tithe that Levites get is not holy, it's not kodesh, but what they separate to give to the Kohanim gets a din of kodesh. So that makes sense, because we saw above here that indeed the truma gdola, what the Bnei Yisrael give to the Kohanim, is called Kodesh. And in the same sense, what the Levites give from their maaser to the Kohen is also called Kodesh. What goes to the Kohanim is called Kodesh. Whereas it seems from here that what goes to the Levite is not Kodesh. It's not Kodesh. And I'll just give you some implications of that. When Kohanim eat their truma, whether it came from the Levites or came from the Bnei Yisrael, it has to be eaten in conditions of Tahara. Because it's Kodesh. When the Levites eat their Maaser, it doesn't have to be eaten in conditions of
Kodesh.
They
also give 10%, I mean, in Maaser.
So how much is the truma that the Levites give to the Kohen?
Yeah.
So Mr. Gallet says, and he's right, they give is their truma is a tithe because it's called maaser min ha maaser. Okay.
So if we could put all this on the board, well, we still can't. We didn't read Rashi yet.
Yeah, the verses pretty much repeat themselves. We can now read what we want to read in Rashi. And in Rashi, this is Pasuk Chaf Zayin, the 27th verse, which is the one we started to read earlier, and I realized it was too early to read it. So it's in Rashi, the right-hand column, the second, and then the third, and fourth, and fifth lines. Chaf Zayin, V'nechshav lechem trumatchem kedagan min hagoren. And it will be considered to you, your contribution that you give to the Kohenim, will be considered as if it's coming from your dagan and your goren. That's just the dibor matril. As if it's coming from your grain and your threshing floor. Says Rashi, Trumat ma'aser shelechem asura lezarim. Rashi says the truma that you give from your ma'aser is forbidden to zarim, to non-kohenim, ulatmeim, and to those who are tamei, right? Even kohenim who are tamei can't eat it, because, well, like we said, it's kodesh. V'chayvim alei amita, and one who eats it improperly is liable to death. V'chomesh, and a penalty of 20%, in other words, if you eat it inadvertently, when you're not supposed to, you're not liable for death, but you're liable for penalty of 20%. You have to pay back what you ate, and 20% fine. K'truma gdola, just like truma gdola, just like the truma that Bnei Yisrael give directly to the Kohenim. Shenikret reshit dagan min hagoren. That is called the first of the grain from the threshing floor. Okay, one more Rashi on Pasuk Chafchet, which is three lines from the bottom of the right-hand column. Kain tarimu gamatem, so you should separate, just like the Bnei Yisrael separate for the Kohenim, so you should the Levites also. Kamosh Yisrael mirimim migornam mikvam tarimu gamatem mimaaseh shelachem ki hu nachalatchem. That's really just things we've learned already. Rashi says, just like Bnei Yisrael separate from their threshing floor and from their wine press, so you should also separate from the tithe that you get, because the tithe is your inheritance. The tithe is it like what you would grow from your land. So all these things we're going to put on the board now.
Can I ask you a question first?
Yes.
The language we used in our first selection, Rashi saying it's talking about Meister Sheni.
Back up here.
Yes. Have we related that
no.
to this
no.
yet?
No. Okay. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. So I'm going to write here that we just, how am I going to put this? That we learned here about
a different what I was thinking before.
And about a maaser that goes to the Levites, right? And the Levites have to give something to the Kohen. That's what I'm going to put on the board.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put that there's a maaser, and I'm going to put in brackets what it's called in halachic language is maaser rishon. It's called maaser rishon, as opposed to the maaser sheni, which we'll talk about. So I'm going to just put here rishon. And the characteristics that we've seen about it, I'm not going to put on the board that it's not kodesh. There was no mention of it being kodesh. But I am going to put on the board that it goes to the Levite, right? From Bnei Yisrael to the Levite. And then we also learned here that we have to give a ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. The Levite has to give a tenth from the tenth, and we saw that it's called Shumat Ma'aser. So I'm going to write here, there's a ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. And it's called Shumat Ma'aser. And it goes to the Kohen. Goes to the Kohen, and we saw that it's Kodesh. see, did I leave anything out? I don't think I left anything out.
So is it correct to say that so far we have an understanding that B'nai Yisrael starts by giving 10% to the Levies, mm-hmm. and now everybody, Levies and the rest, give Truma to the Kohanim, the Levies out of their 10%, and it's 10% of it, and B'nai Yisrael out of whatever, yes. and we haven't said how much that is yet. That's what we know so far, is that right?
Except that we seem to have said in one case how much the gift to the Kohen is, but not in the other case.
The Levies, it's 10%.
Yeah, there's 10%.
B'nai Yisrael to the Kohanim, it didn't say.
Oh, you said that right. Yes.
And I have a question. From where is coming Masa Sheni?
We didn't flesh that out yet. That has to wait for Sefer Dvarim.
We didn't talk about it yet?
We talked only in general terms.
Yeah.
We still have to wait now to see
Sefer Dvarim. It's not explained yet from where it's coming.
No. Didn't get a full explanation yet. Okay, so now we go to Sefer Dvarim to round out the picture. And Sefer Dvarim is C on the assignment sheet. Sefer Dvarim Perek Yud Dalit. That's chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. 14:22.
What is that, the volume?
Yes. 14:22 on page 1014. No. It's the bottom of page 1012. Right. Page 1012. And we have a lot of verses to read. The last verse of page 1012. Aser ta'aser, certainly tithe, et kol tivuat zar'echa, all of the produce of your seed, hayutze hasadeh, that comes forth from the field, shana shana, every year. Bring ma'aser, it doesn't say to who, it doesn't say what type. V'chalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, and you should eat it before God. In other words, you're not giving it to anyone. You should eat your own ma'aser. So that's certainly not what we have on the board at the bottom that's called the Maaser Rishon that goes to Levite. Because this, it says, eat yourself. So it's a new type of Maaser. And it's going to be what was hinted to in Vayikra that Rashi said is called, what's it called?
Maaser Sheni.
Maaser Sheni. Right, so what we're reading now seems to be a fleshing out of what we read over here. We're reading now in Dvarim is explaining the small amount of verses that we saw in Sefer Vayikra.
Why do you think it's the same? Because when we read that, it said it's holy.
So it's going to turn out now, this is called holy. It's going to turn out that Maaser Sheni is indeed called holy, even though you eat it, you can only eat in a certain place, in a holy place. Oh. As we're about to read, it's the next word. At the top of page 1014, you have to read it in the place that God will choose to put his name there. So in a certain paradoxical sense, the maaser sheni that you have to eat in Yerushalayim is holy, whereas the maaser rishon you give to the Levite is not holy. The Levite could eat any place. But the maaser you keep for yourself has to be eaten only in a makom asher yivchar l'shaken shemo sham. Continue on in Pesuk Chaf Gimel, the second line of page 1014. Maasa degancha tiroshcha bitzarecha, a tithe of your grain and of your oil, of your wine and of your oil. Uvchorot b'korcha, and the firstborn of your cattle, etc., etc., etc. And then it says in verse Chaf Dalet, 24, V'chi yirbe mimcha haderech, when the journey will become long, ki lo tuchal seto, and you can't bear it, ki yirchak mimcha makom ashev har Adonai Elohecha lesum shmo sham, because the place that God will put his name there is far from you, because God will
bless you. In other words, will increase your land and you'll live in faraway places. What do? If you have to take 10% of your produce to eat in your Yerushalayim, what are you going to do if you live too far away? V'natata b'kasef. And you should turn it into money.
Money.
Turn it into money. And we saw a phrase that means the same thing early in Vayikra. And there the word was? You said the word.
Oh, watch it.
No, before that you said the word. You explained to Steve, the word is gula. Redeem it. What's called in Vayikra, redeem it, is now here, put it into money. Turn it into money. V'natata b'kasef, put it into money. V'tzarta ha-kesef b'yadecha, and tie it up in your hand, make a little bundle of it. V'alachta l'makom ha-shevchar Adonai Elohecha bo, and go to the place that God has chosen. You can't carry the food, there's too much, but you can carry money. V'natata ha-kesef b'chol asher tava nafshecha, and you should turn the money there into everything that you desire for your heart. In other words, when you're at home, you turn the tithe, the produce, into money. You bring the money to Yerushalayim. There you turn it back into produce. You redeem it in the opposite direction. You buy with it produce in Yerushalayim. And therefore you support the economy of the capital of the Jewish state, the political capital and the spiritual capital. Buy anything you want with it. You could buy a car, you can buy steak and so on, you can buy lamb chops, and you can buy yayin and shechar, and you can buy wine and all types of intoxicating beverages. Uvechol l'shet tishalcha nafshecha, anything that your soul wants. V'chalta sham lefnei Adonai Elohecha v'samachta atal beitecha. Eat it there in the presence of God, and you should be happy, you and your family. Okay? So we can start putting on the board what we learned in Vayikra comes back in Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim, and we see that they're talking about something that we discussed in Vayikra, that same Maaseh Sheni. And here we learned indeed that it has to be eaten before God. Let's just write here, Lifnei Hashem. Speaking before God, and we learned about the din of natata b'kesef, put it into money. The same thing we learned there. Natata b'kesef, you can turn it into money if you want. And bring the money to Yerushalayim. Was there any Rashi you want to see in that context? Not yet. Let's see verse Kafchet and Chavtet, 28 and 29. Wait a second. Okay, very good. Now it says, verse 28, Miktzei shalosh shanim totsi et kol ma'asar tevuatcha b'shana hahi v'hinachta b'sharecha. At the end of 3 years, take out all your tithes of your produce of that year and put it in your gate. That's interesting, because we had thought that of the tithes, well, we have here two different types of tithes. We have here Maaseh Rishon that you give to the Levite. We have Maaseh Sheni that you take to Jerusalem. We learned about the Maaseh Sheni again in Deuteronomy just 1 minute ago. You take it before God and you eat it there. Now it says on the third year of the 7-year sabbatical cycle, leave all of your tithes at your gate. Which means that on the third year, Maaseh Sheni is cancelled. Hear what I'm saying?
Not exactly.
Good. So in other words, we've learned until now about two tithes. Maaseh Sheni, which you take to Jerusalem, discussed both in Vayikra and in Dvarim. And we also learned about Maaseh Rishon, the first tithe that goes to the Levite. So the tithe that goes to the Levite stays in your city. Your Levite eats it wherever he lives. Whereas the Maaseh Sheni, what do you do with it?
Take it to Jerusalem.
Take it to Jerusalem. But now we just learned in verse 28 that in the third year of the cycle, it says leave all of your tithes in your gate. Verse 28. Right, I'll read verse 28. At the end of 3 years, you should take out every tithe of your crop in that year and set it down within your cities. So that's telling us that the third year, you don't take anything to Jerusalem.
So that means that Maaseh Sheni doesn't apply in the third year. And we know the cycle is 7 years. And Chazal understood the third year means every third year. How many every third years are there in a 7 year cycle?
Two.
Two. Which means which 2 years of the cycle is there no Maaseh Sheni?
The last two.
Six
and seven.
What number is it?
Six and seven.
No.
Can you say your question again?
Yeah. Which 2 years of the 7 year cycle is there no Maaseh Sheni?
The third and the sixth.
Third and the sixth. Third and the sixth. And that's the halakha. The third and the sixth is no Maaseh Sheni. The tithe you would have taken to Jerusalem, you do something else with it. Okay? So we'll read again verses 28 and 29. Mikzeh shalosh shanim, at the end of 3 years, totzi et kol ma'asa tevuatcha b'shanahi, take out all of the tithe of your produce of that year, v'hinachta b'sharecha, and leave it in your gate. Uva ha-Levi, ki ein lo chelik v'nachalaimach, and will come the Levi, who has no portion or inheritance with you, v'hager, and the sojourner, v'yitom, and the orphan, v'almana, and the widow, asher b'sharecha, v'achu, and they will eat, v'saveh, and they'll be satisfied, l'man yivarecha, ha-Adonai Elohecha, b'chol ma'aseh yadcha, asher atas, in order that God will bless you. So, the same tithe that years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you take to Jerusalem to eat yourself, years 3 and 6, you leave it in your gate for the good of the widow, and the sojourner, and the orphan. What do all those three have in common?
They have no land.
They have no land. In other words, they're poor. And that's why this is called Maaser Ani, the poor man's tithe. That the same tithe that's called Maaser Sheni on years 1, 2, 4, 5 is called Maaser Ani on years 3 and 6. And it doesn't go with you to Jerusalem. It stays in your gate. And it's given out freely to the poor.
So in those years, the 3rd and the 6th, you still give the 1st to the Levi.
Right.
Even though it's not clear here whether they're mixed together or not. And look, it's... But that's the
halakha. Right. In other words, this here, the maaser that goes to Levi, hasn't been touched. We're just fooling around with the maaser sheni, which is discussed here in Deuteronomy. It says, take it to Jerusalem. Then it says, but the third year, don't. The third year, leave it in your gates. So we're going to add here, I'm going to make the chart like this so we can see that Sefer Dvarim is explaining what we have in the Vayikra. He talked about Maaser Sheni, that's Lifnei Hashem, eaten before God, and you can redeem it, make it into Kesef, but also discusses Maaser Ani. And what it said about Maaser Ani is V'hinachte v'sharecha, leave it in your gates. Right? V'hinachta v'sharecha, leave it in your gate.
What does that mean?
Say it again?
What does it mean? Leave it in the
It means don't
place,
bring... It just means it's...
Leave it in your gate?
Its meaning is the negative meaning. Don't take it to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I think that's what the phrase is telling us.
You're missing a reish in the Bishayah.
Thank you. Okay, very good. And I just want to add to that what year it is. The Maaser, we saw that this is Bashana HaShlishit. Right? Bashana HaShlishit. I want to write clearly for you. Shlishit. Okay?
Not HaShlishit.
Thank you. Let's add that. Okay. Now it's every Shana HaShlishit. Which in our terms is shlishit and shishit. So I'll write v'shishit. Very good.
That is not Kodesh. Not Kodesh. That can be eaten everywhere.
Right, exactly. Right. It's not Kodesh because it can be eaten
Maaser Ani can be eaten everywhere.
Right, as opposed to the Maaser Sheni.
Yeah.
Which is Kodesh, right.
It can be eaten everywhere.
Right.
But it seems the transition from, or the connection that you've made between the, what we read of the Maaser that we read first about, your top
Sheni
section. Yes, that we called, that Rashi said is Maaser Sheni.
Mm-hmm.
That says it's redeemable.
Mm-hmm.
At a cost of a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Making that connection with what we've just read,
mm-hmm.
of eat your maaser in Simcha.
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem, making that connection seems a little difficult.
So
because it doesn't say anything about this penalty, for one thing.
Right.
It just says you change it into money and then buy with it. It doesn't say, and how do you do that? How would you add to that? And it's not really redeeming. Redeeming means to buy back, as you said. So how do you...
So I would give as an answer a larger kind of ideological answer. The question is, how do we relate to different sections of the Torah in relationship to each other, and how do we relate especially to different books of the Torah in relationship to each other? It certainly, what David said makes perfect sense. There is no necessary reason to connect between what we saw in Vayikra and what we're saying in Dvarim. Who knows what it was talking about Vayikra? You could say, theoretically, that it's talking about something completely different. Who knows what the connection is? Chazal, based on their conviction that the Torah is a unified, comprehensive document, try and interpret that which is unclear in light of that which is clear. Sefer Dvarim is clear. Sefer Vayikra is unclear. So they interpret Vayikra in light of Dvarim. Is that necessary? It's not necessarily necessary. You could have read it differently. And I don't mean to accuse you of heresy, but in biblical criticism, they look at Sefer Vayikra, they say that's a different author, that's a different conception, that's something else. Chazal, in their conviction that everything could be understood in a comprehensive whole, connected Vayikra to Dvarim, that's the halakha.
Oh, okay.
But the question, of course, is right on target. Right on target.
This is like a more philosophical question. Don't we have like a tradition of what these things mean? Or it almost sounds like the rabbis are sitting down at some later date and saying, what does this mean? Don't we have a
tradition of what they were interpreted to mean. How far back that tradition goes, I don't know. It certainly could be that from the very outset, from day one, from the Golket, it was interpreted in the fashion we're now giving it. Perhaps it wasn't. Perhaps it's a development. I don't know. Okay?
All right.
Okay, so let's go on. We have now read up to verse Chavtet, which is all we want to read. That's Yudalit. And we want to read the Rashi right on all these verses. Let's read Rashi on verse Chaf Gimel on page 1014. And Rashi on the Dibur Matchil V'Achalta, he says you should eat it before God. That's the tithe you eat before God, you take to Jerusalem. Rashi says, Zeh Maaseh Sheni. That's what we call Maaseh Sheni. So he's using the same rabbinic phrase to describe what we find in Dvarim that he used to describe what we found in Vayikra. He calls it Maaseh Sheni, connecting between Vayikra and Dvarim. And he says, Shekfar Lamadnu Litein Maaseh Rishon. We've already learned that we have to give Maaseh Rishon, that we learned back at the bottom of the board, in the right-hand column. That's something else. We learn to give that to Levim. Shneamar, as it says there, Tiki Tikhumi Eit Bnei Yisrael v'chulei, and he quotes from Bamidbar 18. V'natan lem reshut lochlo b'kol makom, and the Levites were given permission to eat in any place, so it's not holy. Whereas in Deuteronomy it says that it's to be eaten before God. So that's something else. That's Maaseh Sheni.
Shneamar v'chaltem oto b'kol makom is quoting from Bamidbar again from the Maaser Rishon. You can eat it. The Levites can eat any place. Al korcha chazem maaser acheru. Therefore, you have to say that that which is discussed here in Dvarim, that's kodesh, zit me for God, is something else. It's a different type of maaser. So now we see that indeed there are two different maasers every year. You always have to give 20%. You give 10% to the Levite. And then 10% sometimes goes with you to Jerusalem and sometimes stays in your town for the Aniim. That's 20%. In addition to the 20%, there's also that which goes to the Kohen, which we never defined how much it is. That's the second square on the right-hand side. That's Reshit. It's the best. We didn't say how much it is. It goes to the Kohen. So you're giving about 22% every year. And I'll explain in a second why I said 22%. 22%. That's not so bad. In Israeli terms, it's a rather low tax bracket, I'd say. Okay. Can anyone tell me what time it is?
Sure, it's 11:20. It's 11:20.
It's 11:20. So let's see if there's anything we want to add here. So you know what? The only really thing we have to add is that which I just said. How much is the Truma Gdola? How much is the Truma Gdola? I just said it's 2%. The reason I said 2% is because Chazal said it's 2%. All the Torah says, again, is the best. You give to Kohenim. Chazal said, Ahad min hamishim, 1 out of 50, which is 2%. So indeed, that is that's enough. So let's just summarize. What do we have? We have five different agricultural gifts. Five different agricultural gifts. I'm just going to make a summary right over here. The five different agricultural gifts are number one, Truma Gdola, which we learned about in Bamidbar Perechet, that goes directly to the Kohen, and just like we said right now, it's 1/50, 2%. That's the first gift.
Yeah.
That's Truma Gdola. The second gift we'll talk about is from Bamidbar Perek Yudchet, Maaser Rishon. So I'm going to write here, Maaser Rishon. And that's 10% to the Levite. The third gift we're going to talk about is
Maaser Sheni.
I'm first going to say Shumat Maaser.
Oh yeah, Trumat Maaser, yeah.
Trumat Maaser, that's what the Levi gives to the Kohen.
From the Maaser Rishon he gives.
From the Maaser Rishon.
Yeah. Can I get a pencil there, David?
I think that it's, is it writing? Yeah. I don't know, it writes too well. Now let me tell you why.
No, it's not writing.
As we're summarizing, let me tell you why I put on the list Trumat Maaser. And Trumat Maaser is what the Levite goes gives to the Kohen. You might say, that doesn't concern me. I'm not a Levite. What do I have to know about Trumat Maaser? But it's important. You hear what I'm saying? It's important because the gift that you give, the 10% to the Levite, which we said is Maaser Rishon, is not holy. And the halakha is, if the Levite doesn't take it, you can eat it yourself, if he doesn't come to get it. But there's a certain portion of it that is holy. The part he had to give to the Kohen. So when you eat what the Levite didn't take, you have to be careful not to eat the part that he had to give to the Kohen. That's why it's important even for Yisrael to know the law of Trumat Maaser. So we said Truma Gdola, I'll say it once again, Truma Gdola is what you give directly to the Kohen, 2%. Maaser Rishon is the 10% you give to the Levite. Trumat Maaser is the 10% that the Levite gives to the Kohen. And then we put on the board the easy ones, the ones that alternate. Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. And I just put on the board the second Maaser.
Yeah.
In years 1, 2, 4, 5.
goes to Jerusalem, and then Maaser Ani, which is years 3-6.
What's that? Maaser Ani is, what years is that?
1, 2, 4, 5.
Maaser Ani, yeah. It's five of them, five different kinds.
Five different gifts.
And Maaser Ani, what years is that?
Maaser Ani is 3 and 6.
When we say Maaser Sheni, is that to the Levim?
No, Maaser Sheni is for you to eat in Jerusalem.
And the Ani is the gears you give it to, you leave it for the Levim. Okay.
That only, you give only the third and the sixth year.
The third and the sixth year is Maaser Ani.
What about the other years? You don't give Maaser Ani or something?
You don't give Maaser Ani. You take the same tent and bring it to Jerusalem. That's Maaser Sheni.
Maaser Ani, is that what you leave in the field, or you actually pick it?
You actually pick it. Leaving stuff in the field is a whole different category, right? Of Lekit, Shechicha, and Peah.
And Truma is 2%, you mean?
And Truma Gdola is 2%.
It's 2%.
Right, it's 2%.
Everything else is 10.
Everything else is 10, right?
Except for what the Levi gives to the Kohen.
That's Maaser Min HaMaaser. That's 10.
What about if somebody donates a gift to the Kohen, a Truma, a gift of Truma? Mm-hmm. And can that be done also?
You can give whatever you want. You can do whatever you want with your money.
You can donate and make it Truma, you mean, like that? Is it going to be Truma, or is it going to be Maaser?
Does it have a din of Kodesh?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's what I was going to know.
So I'll just say at the end that David just pointed out that even though I said taxes are never above 22%, that's only taxes on what you've harvested, but what you don't harvest also sometimes has to go to taxes, the corners of the field, right, and the sheep
that you
forget to harvest. So taxes, I guess, get a little higher than 20% sometimes.
I guess that if you...
David, I'll take this home.
I guess that if you... I was thinking 10% of your production for the year to eat in Jerusalem is a lot. I mean, a huge amount.
That's a very good point.
And maybe.
But when you get to Jerusalem, you have to spend it. That's a lot of money.
But maybe that's what you do. Maybe that's the penalty part. So I'm just making this up.
Yeah.
But I mean, so I've got my, I made $1,000 this year. I have to take 100. I go to Jerusalem. But out of the 100, which is my Maaser Sheni, I really only need $10. So I want to redeem and take back the 90 and use it otherwise. So when I take back that 90, I have to pay a fifth of it as a penalty.
Yeah, that's not the way the halakha interprets it. Halakha interprets it that indeed you have to have 10% of your yearly produce for 4 of the 7 years. It's only 4 of the 7 years.
Yeah.
So it doesn't turn out to be 10%. It turns out to be, I guess, about 6%.
Okay.
Something like that. That 6% has to be either all brought to Jerusalem or brought to Jerusalem as money and then bought back to buy produce in Jerusalem and eat it there. And when you buy it back, you have to, again, add 20%. And what David said is true. Many researchers have pointed out, how could one possibly eat that much in Jerusalem? You'd have to spend 6% of your time in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And most people don't do that. So there are different theories of how actually this would work. What can certainly be said is that you'll have to feed a lot of poor people in Jerusalem. In other words, you'll not be able, you and your family, to eat it all.